Turn to John chapter 3. Before we get started tonight, I have kind of a technical introduction. I'm going to try to explain it in a few different ways so it'll make sense to everybody. The title of my little Bible study is called MP3 Christianity. So how many of you, this will be just like Jack Benny is a age definer, how many of you know what an MP3 file is? Brother Tom, okay. Kate, okay, so a few of you. I'll explain that in a minute, but real quickly, we're going to read what a lot of people call a miniature Bible. I know the book of Isaiah is called the miniature Bible, but if you only had one verse to tell somebody to try to get the gospel across, to try to get the concept of God or the concept of right and wrong and consequences for sin, it would be John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we'll come back to that verse, but if you can only pick one, now thank God we have the whole Bible, and if we work, we can understand it, we have it in our language, and we can get a good dictionary, and we can have people teach it to us, and thank God for that. But if you only had one verse or one sentence, I think most of us would turn to that verse, John 3:16. The reason I call this MP3 Christianity is because the longer we live and the more electronic and digital and more complex our lives get, the more something enters into it, and it's a term called compression. Compression. And that word just means to increase the density of. When it comes to a computer file, like an MP3 file, it means to compress it and make it smaller so that you can get more in a space. Brother Daryl Tabor has been trying to get me to work with this computer and create backup disk, and we've been talking about what different disks can hold and the concept of taking something very large and squeezing it down to fit into something very small. So whether or not you have anything to do with it or not, you do still experience it every day if you watch TV. When the country did the digital transition, everything became digital and everything got compressed and shrunk down so you could fit more into the same bandwidth. And it means applying pressure or reducing how much bandwidth you have. So that's my introduction. Now, here's some other examples. Anybody that has cooked has heard of something called a reduction. People that cook with wines will make a red wine reduction, or if you're making gravy, like biscuits and gravy, you kind of let it boil and let the steam take the water off, and you reduce it down to the bare elements so you still have the taste. So you still have the essence of what it is you're cooking, or a contraction. You know, in your English language classes, when you take do not and you take out the O and not and you put an apostrophe there, so you say don't instead of do not, you get the same meaning across with one syllable as opposed to two. So all of that to say, an MP3, if it's done the right way, will be a close reproduction of the original. And if it's done the wrong way, it won't sound very much like the original at all. Good compression produces a fair, balanced copy of the original, and bad compression produces a bad representation of what the maker had in mind. So that's my introduction. Hopefully it'll make sense. Let's say tonight we have an exit back here and we have an exit back here, and I have two sets of car keys. And one of them is a car key to a brand new Chevrolet Cruze. Chantel and I just went out and did test drive, and we got a new lease on a car. GM owns it, and I pay them to use it. But I got a new car. And one car that we drove was a compact car called the Cruze. And I'll give you a free commercial. It had a lot of features that a nicer, bigger car would have, but it's considered a compact car. So that's one option. Let's say it's out in this door. Now, the other door, I have a brand new Cadillac. It has a Bose sound system. It has wood panels. It has an automated, skylight. Every feature that you'd ever want in a car, it's all in this car. It's brand new. The keys are right here. But about 5 minutes ago, I ran it through a car crusher. So the car's still out there, but it's been compressed in the wrong way. Now, a Cruze has been compressed, and it has a lot of good features, and it's usable. But my Cadillac that I just crushed has also been compressed, but it's not good for anything. So there is good compression. There is usable being shrunk down, and there is bad compression. I'm going to try to demonstrate it for you in an MP3. This is Beethoven's Fifth that has been badly compressed. It's the difference between what's bad, this, everything's the same volume, everything's the same, it sounds like two notes. But if it hasn't been compressed so much, darkness. That's good. This is bad. All right, so there's good compression, there's bad compression. Don't lose me yet. I'll give me a few more minutes and then you can lose me. All right, so there's a good way of compressing something, a usable compact car. There's a bad way of compressing something, an unusable, might have cost thousands of dollars more, but it has no use to me if I can fit it into a suitcase and I can't drive it anymore. And the same thing is true with Christianity. As Christians, it's our calling to accurately represent Christ in each aspect of our lives. Now, I'm the guy that makes the CDs, so I'm the guy that does the website, so I do a lot with audio, and when I get a sermon from John, he hands me a file, and I take it home, and I compress it. Now, I always do this, so Dad knows about it. Don't tell him that Adam's going behind his back. But I always take something that's very dynamic. You know, our pastor is very dynamic. He can be very soft, and he can be very loud. And sometimes he can be very long. Now, there are times where he's soft and loud and long, and I have to make it usable. I have to make it where you can hear and understand everything. And sometimes I have to compress the length. Now, I don't cut things out. And this is top secret. I don't cut things out. But if you ever get a CD and you notice that the tracks are shorter than 5 minutes, that means I took a 5 minute track and I shrunk it down to 4 minutes and 45 seconds. So he's still saying everything he's saying, he just might be saying it a little bit faster than he normally would say. So it's all still there, but it's usable. It's usable, and you can get something out of it. Now, if I go to witness to somebody and say, this is a King James Bible, it got translated into 1611, it's been updated, and it's been preserved, God has given us his word, and I say, now read this, and you can get saved. You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus will save you from your sins, the Holy Spirit will give you, indwell you, and God will give you a home in heaven. And more than likely, if I had a choice between handing them the whole word of God and handing them a gospel tract, I would start with the gospel tract. Now, the gospel tract does not contain the entire word of God, but it contains the highlights. It gives you a general idea of what you need to know to go to heaven. Now, most tracts at the end will say, get in a good church, get a good Bible. You know, most good tracts will direct you to the full thing. Most good copies will direct you to hear the right, real thing. Going back to, I like symphonic music. Chantel and I got to go and hear the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And I thought that I was a good audiophile. I thought I knew how to listen to, you know, good music. But there's nothing like being there live. There's nothing like experiencing it for yourself. And that's what a good teacher will do, is say, I can give you a sample. I can try to explain it to you, but you got to experience it for yourself. I can tell you what God's done in my life, but you got to see what God can do in your life. I was very thankful for the testimonies tonight. They were as real as you could make them to me, but until that situation happens in my life, that's God working in your life and not working in mine. So an MP3 Christian is all of us. It's somebody that takes what God has done and distills it or reduces it or compresses it and makes it where they can pass it on to somebody else. Billy Graham described religion when he said, some people have just enough religion to inoculate themselves against the real thing. And I deal with people this way all the time. They'll say, well, I know what you believe, but I believe this because I've been burned by authorities or elders or deacons or pastors or Baptists or people that said they were Christians. And they say, you know, I'm kind of immune to that now. I'm not affected by that anymore. And if we're not careful, we'll become bad copies of the good original and turn people away from what they need to know. So that was all introduction. Hopefully I didn't lose anybody. But there are things that we need to carry with us and preserve that we need to pack with us when you go on vacation. You don't take every article of clothing. You take what you need. And there are things in God's word that if we are lazy in our compression, we'll leave them behind and you won't be able to tell the loud from the soft or the slow from the fast. You won't be able to hear the big swells of the drums and the trumpets. All you hear is a whining mess, and it in no way represents what the Christian life is. So be careful in what you compress. Be careful in your compressions. Only got a few minutes in our doctrines. And now we talk about teaching. We have Sunday school classes. We have good Sunday school teachers, I believe. We have a good teaching pastor. He preaches and screams and steps on our toes and gets in our face, but he teaches us something. And that's all of us need to learn Bible doctrines. One that I ran into this week, the depravity of man, that all of us are sinners. And that's great for when we need to get saved, but we're still sinners after we get saved. You know, there's that feeling of, well, I can achieve what I need to achieve without God's help, and that is against what we believe. We believe in man without God is nothing. You know, we are what we are because God has decided to bless us. The fact that salvation comes from Jesus Christ. We talked about it Sunday, but, you know, changing the Bible to take the word virgin out. We believe in the virgin birth. That makes him special. That makes Christ different from everybody else. We believe that Jesus Christ was tempted, but he didn't sin. And those basic Bible doctrines that Jesus Christ is coming back. Marlene picked the song tonight. Jesus is coming again. You know, we don't live this life for this life alone. And if we're not careful, we'll compress it too far. You know, I don't know if you use a copy machine and you got the original, and then you make a copy, and then you go back, and I can't find the original, so you make a copy of the copy, and then I can't find that copy, so you make a copy of the copy of the copy. Or we'll go down another path if you're a gossip and you want to hear a good story. How many people back do you want to go? Well, you know, Brother Bill told Brother Bob, and Brother Bob told Denise, and Denise told Kate. You know, so by the time you hear that story, it's been through so many ears and mouths that you don't really trust it anymore. Be very careful when you're distilling down God's word and when you're compressing what the Christian life is, that you pass on the things that should be passed on. So, doctrines. And again, I just compressed way too much, but the doctrine that we believe, it is important, the things that we do in practice. Brother Tom, I talked to him before the service. They'll send him a interview sheet or a form to fill out. And I looked at some of the questions, and each one I looked at, I thought, well, you know, like he preached last week, he preached on one verse for 40 minutes, and most of those questions looked like they'd take several pages of deep thought to get across the answer. And it takes a lot of wisdom to distill down, and it takes a lot of time and pinpointing the accuracy to say what needs to be said. If you leave here tonight and you don't know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, I failed you. You know, I have failed you if you leave here and don't realize that there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. And if we don't accept what he did for us, we are completely deprived. We are completely without hope. If all you get tonight is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, then at least I got that across to you. But as Christians, we need to be careful in our doctrines. We need to be careful in our faith and our love. I won't read it for you. We got 10 minutes, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11. We were gone last week. We came in, and I noticed the church was clean. Now, I wasn't here Friday. I didn't see, I know Brother Jeff, he always vacuums. I didn't see Brother Pete. I didn't see any of the people that normally clean the church go through the action of cleaning the church. But I saw the evidence that the church had been cleaned. I saw that substance that things were a lot nicer than when I had left on Sunday night. And the same thing is true for us. I did not watch God create the world. I did not watch Jesus Christ die on the cross to pay for my sins. But I see the evidence. I see the evidence in a Christian's life. I see the evidence in recorded history. You know, I know these things happened. And each of us have to take by faith and then spread in love and make sure we don't lose it in the copy process. We don't lose it in the compression process. Faith is substance and evidence. Love is evidenced in our actions. Again, we've said over and over again, love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. God commendeth his love toward us. And that action was Jesus Christ dying on the cross. In 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, and it feels futile sometimes, it says 2 Corinthians 12:15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And I'll put this illustration in. When I was younger, my grandfather, I called him Granddaddy, and I was always afraid of Granddaddy long-leg spiders, so I was kind of always afraid of my granddaddy too. But he let me drive his riding lawnmower, and he had big ditches that were more intense than this angle here, but he had big ditches outside his house. And it was my first time driving a lawnmower. I, of course, didn't have a license. Mom wouldn't let me drive the car, but I could drive this lawnmower. And I looked at the ditch, and I thought, I can go up and down and up and down and up and down, forward, backward. That's going to take forever. So I'm just going to get in my riding lawnmower and drive like this. So I thought it made sense. So anyway, so I'm driving around the ditch. I'm mowing the grass. And my granddaddy comes out, and he's red-faced. He's screaming. He's waving his arms. I couldn't hear him. It looked like he was cussing, but I don't think he would cuss. But he looked very angry, and he was worked up. You know, he was very angry, and he tried to, you know, rip me off the lawnmower and said, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he shook me. Now, at that moment, I thought, that man has zero love for me, because if he loved me, if he loved me, he'd let me drive the lawnmower the way I want to drive it. And I was crying. I was mad. I was offended. I was angry. And like I talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago, God was using him to correct me, but I didn't like it. I hated it. It still gets me upset thinking about it. He was so angry. And he said, "You're going to kill yourself." He said, "You're going to kill yourself," because I was going to kill myself. I was going to roll that lawnmower over. And he knew that ditch. It was his land. And he knew that I was putting myself in danger. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, that sometimes the greater you love somebody, the more it's going to come across as something else, as uncaring, hatred, apathy. It's going to come across as not what you intend it to be. And you're not going to take it the right way at the time. And we have to be very careful. And I think my grandfather, every day I look at my son, I look at my wife, I think about my life and think, you know, if granddaddy would have just let me drive that lawnmower the way I wanted to, I wouldn't have any of it. You know, I wouldn't have my head. So you got to be thankful for the people that are willing to step in and say, you're not seeing it right. You're not seeing it right. Now, they might not have the exact right perspective either, but you got to be thankful for those people in your life. And when it comes to our music and our worship, and I know we tend to stay out of the culture wars and everything that goes on as far as, you know, I'm glad we use a hymnal and I'm glad we use the old songs. But so many times people get used to what they're exposed to. So I made the argument about music that they don't really like the new music as much as the old stuff, but they just hear it all the time. You know, you hear music at Muzak in the elevator, or when you're on hold, you hear pop music, and even though, you know, some of the newer stuff doesn't have as deep a doctrine, and sometimes it's harder to understand what the person's talking about, but you just get used to that type of music, and you don't know, it's not the best, but you get used to it. And one thing we got to be careful of, and I know I'm the guy that picks the songs, is that we don't compress our worship into something that's no longer worship. That we don't compress our, however you want to call it, your performance or your musical ability, you don't compress it into something that no longer represents the original, that no longer represents what God had intended. And everybody gets worked up about this. I won't even read it for you. I don't want to sound snarky, but in the 1800s, people got mad about "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," or "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," or "Just As I Am." The song "Amazing Grace," for the first couple hundred years, it didn't get published because there wasn't a mention of God or Jesus Christ until they added the last verse when we've been there 10,000 years. "We've no less days to sing God's praise." That wasn't added until later. It was just a song about grace. So this argument, whether it takes place ever in our church, what goes on outside of our church, you have to temper it. You have to say, this is the Word of God. This is the original. Whatever we do outside of that should reflect the original. So in our music, and again, I have a little bit of say what goes on here, but in what goes on in your home. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So maybe we get everything straight in the way it should be in this house, in God's house. Well, you still have to deal with God's house in your body. And that's the music you listen to. That's the way you worship God. Our cars have a trial period on XM radio. And I know that today's music is wicked and heathen, and you can hear all kinds of bad things if you want to, but I can roll back to the 70s. Brother Sam, you know, he's talking about the ancient Jack Benny days, but the 70s and the 60s and the 50s, and if you're looking for dirt, you can find it back there just as easily as you can find it today. So it comes to a personal standard. It comes to, I am only able to carry so much with me. I'm only able to compress so much into my MP3 or into my suitcase. I'm only able to compact so much into what I pass on to my children, to those that I have influence. Do I want to pass on a song that talks about the great doctrines of the Bible, or a song that might be talking about it, but I'm not sure? You know, there's you have to make choices. I've noticed in my life, I thought I had pretty good standards when it came to what I watched on TV and the movies, and I'm sure people disagree with that, but once I had a kid, I started questioning all my standards again. You know, I started saying, well, I thought it was all right, and I had justified it for me, but now I have a 2-year-old who likes to repeat everything he hears, and I don't know if I want him going back and repeating that. So those standards that you put in your life, the things that you listen to, the way that you worship, the way that you talk to God, the way that you talk to authority, it's always something that could be better. It's always something that could be refined, just like a good MP3, or just like a good reduction could be refined and made more like the original. That's my point. Be careful in what you compress. Be careful in what you do away with just to make room for something that might not be as good. And again, I try very hard not to have strong opinions because I answer to the pastor and he answers to God. But in this, in each area of life, for my family, I do have strong opinions. I'm not ashamed of that. For what goes into my son's head, I do have strong opinions on that. And as a church, we need to make sure that we go back to the original and not a weak copy. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, so our last point, 728. All throughout the Bible, God called men. God called Samuel four times before he said, you know, Eli said, it's God, not me. God called Jonah twice, the second time. You know, Jonah knew it was the first time, but he didn't want to go. He went the second time. Moses made excuses. Aaron made excuses. All the prophets had doubts. All the judges, the disciples, doubting Thomas. Be careful in your compression. Be careful on what God's call is on your life. And it is my belief that God has called more people than are responding to his call, not that, you know, somebody thinks they're called when they're not. Be careful when you compress the word of God to fit what you want it to fit. And then a good compression, if it's done right, it takes out a few things. I don't know if you ever listened to noise-canceling headphones or have, when they restore, say, like the Sound of Music or an old Disney cartoon, they restore it, and they actually say, now this is better than the, you know, this is as good as it's going to get. They actually take things out of the old copies and make them better. Now, all of us are copies of the original. All of us have looked at the life of Christ and said, I want to be like that guy. I want to be a Christian. And the best I know how, I'm going to copy him. But all of us have let other artifacts into our life. All of us have extraneous things that have come into our life that we need to get out. It's not God's fault. It's human. It's us putting them in there. So good compression takes out the noise, takes out the hypocrisy. James said, don't have respect to persons. James chapter 2, I won't read it, but don't add disclaimers and exclusions to faith in Jesus Christ. I always think back to when I got saved. You know, when I got saved, it was good enough for me. Now, today I could tell you what the Catholics believe, and I could tell you, you know, what the Presbyterians are different, and all the differences, even within what we would call Christianity, or what we would call Protestantism. I could delve into all the details, but when I got saved, God was good enough for me. And what the tendency is to get all garbled down and say, since I don't have all the answers for everybody, I'm just going to keep it to myself. It was good enough for me, but I don't know if I want to explain it to anybody else. And that is a very bad compression. That's where you're losing the point of trying to explain it to somebody else and say, you know what? I didn't understand it all then. I still don't understand it all now. But Jesus Christ was good enough for me. He's good enough for you. And my home in heaven is going to be just as nice as yours if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what we tend to do is get bogged down in all the details, and then we forget the most important part is to tell other people. So Jesus left us with the Great Commission. He left us with commandments. They're personal. They apply to us. It's not somebody else's command, somebody else's commission. All right, here's my 3 points, and I'm done. When we're making copies, when we're making MP3s, when we're compressing, let's stay as close as we can to the original. If we don't have the original artifact, we don't have Jesus Christ here on earth, let's stay as close as we can to that original model. And if you have to make a copy, stay as few steps away as you can. And I would apply that to every part of life. You know, I like sermons based on God's word, and that's where we'll stay, you know. But if you are going to cut it down and, like, say, make a track, if you're going to give somebody the highlights, try to get God's wisdom and God's understanding when you do that. Don't just give them your spin. Give them what God says about what you believe. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I only could tell you one verse, that would be it. Each of us need to at least get that across to somebody else. You know, God loved the world, and God loved each of us. So, as we compress what we believe, as we become MP3s for Jesus, let's make sure we're the kind where you can still tell the difference between right and wrong, and you can still tell the most important doctrines and the most important parts of worship, praise, love, faith. Let's major on the majors. Let's get the main points right. And I believe that the more we refine ourselves, the more will fall into place. And it's about being passionate as being opposed to being petty. And all of us can get petty if we don't pay attention. So we're all standing together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you again, Lord. We don't have to stop and think about what you've done, but help us not to be ungrateful. Help us to be passionate about what you've left us here to do. Help us to be very thankful for each one that's here, and help us as we go through our life and remember what you've done for us and what you've taught us from your word, that we take each truth and make it where we can pass it on to somebody else, not to confuse, not to make it worse, but to highlight it, to draw emphasis to it, and to do all to your honor and glory, and help us do that till you call us home. And I pray you protect us tonight as we go. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.